Libby Purvis, Yachting Monthly, March 2011. You wouldn't think it, given my aversion to harsh seafaring regimes and icicles in the rigging, but one of my great heroes is Harold William Tilghman, mountaineer turned Arctic and Antarctic explorer under sail in a series of Bristol Channel pilot cutters, which sometimes, as he put it, afforded the crew a fine view of the Isle of Wight through the starboard planking. Mischief, the first and most famous of them, took him some 100,000 miles. Sea Breeze and Baroque continued the tradition. His famous advertisements for crew pulled no punches. Cook for a cold voyage, no pay, no prospects, not much pleasure. Editing his sailing writings many years ago for an anthology, Adventures Under Sail, I grew strangely fond of the old curmudgeon. I think what I admire most is that he loved the voyaging so much, not just the mountains, fjords and glaciers, but the boat herself, and he scorned the wussy comforts that the rest of us cling to. He considered a chappy feat if he wore gloves in the North Atlantic in summertime and refused to eat sardine spines, and he had no patience with those who did not consider cold leftover curry a suitable breakfast. But Tilghman's austerity was not just born of his tough teens in the First World War trenches, but of joy. The voyage was enough, frills unnecessary. One of his frequently repeated saws was comfort should not be expected by folks who go a-pleasuring. And I've been thinking of this lately a lot as we equip the boat for what we hope will be long voyages far from home. When considering home comforts afloat, the question is, where do you stop? Repelled as I am by stripped-out racing boats with no books or cushions, there are things I jib at which others think essential. I disapprove of pressurised water systems, for instance, though I'm willing to concede defeat as long as there is a secondary hand pump. Paul, on the other hand, has brilliantly plumbed in hot water from the engine and relishes it. He says it saves using gas to heat a kettle, which I suppose is fair enough. We now have a fridge, too, something which for the first 30 years of my sailing life I would have regarded as an extreme frill. What is wrong with keeping butter in the bilge? Well, quite a lot, but let's not go there. But some people have microwaves and televisions. They wouldn't set out without them. A few have baths sunk into the bilge, and that feels frankly bizarre. But it's in considering long voyages and variations of climate that the real debates begin. Does one need a water maker? For years, small boats made huge passages without, simply economising on freshwater washing, collecting rain in the mainsail and avoiding waste. But once you've had one, chuntering away down there, you pine, whenas, at present, the latest boat doesn't have one. I've never forgotten the hideous stickiness of a trade wind moment when I'd taken advantage of a heavy shower to shampoo my hair on deck, and then the rain stopped, just as the lather was at its maximum. I dipped my head in a bucket of seawater, but it took an hour to cajole 2 mugs full of fresh water out of the skipper to get the itchy salt out. Then there is the matter of a bimini. Once you have had a charter boat in the Med, you realise that a big floppy hat is not really enough. So you start pricing up frames to turn your cockpit into a floating gazebo and then worrying about demountability and stowage and robustness in squalls. And then someone tells you what a difference air conditioning below has made and you realise you don't even have any fans. And even though it's winter in the UK and the very thought of a fan makes you shiver, you start to wonder. And as you shiver, you realise that when latitudes get high, things get cold rather than hot in your thin-walled glass fibre home, and you wonder about heating. Diesel, paraffin, coke stove, a retro wood burner to snap twigs off Alaskan pines. I don't know. Goes on and on. Eventually, you turn away from the catalogues and articles about comfort with a sigh and accept the deep eternal truth that a boat is not what estate agents call a luxurious detached family residence with all mod cons. You have swapped mod cons for the three things those agents actually value higher. Location, location, and location. The coasts and oceans of the world are your estate now. And the owners of grand estates always did have to put up with dodgy central heating and drafty corridors.